First reading is taken from Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he, that's Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And our second reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says to you, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you." I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Paul's hardships. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles and hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and honor, bad report and good report, genuine and yet regarded as imposters, known and yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not killed, sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and possessing everything. We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts to us also. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Well, it's a great pleasure and privilege now to invite Tim Mann to come up to the front. Tim has been in our church a long time. Come on up, Tim. And he's been involved in lots of different things in the church. He's been involved in youth work, that's right, isn't it, for a long time. How long have you been coming along to the church here for, Tim?
2015, so 6 years.
6 years, yeah, great. And I know Tim is very much appreciated by many in our congregation for all the effort and work he's put into things like Junction and other aspects of church life. It's been great. But just recently, you've been doing a bit of preaching for us. You've done a couple of preaches or sharing things in our evening Zoom services. And that's the first time you've kind of done anything like that in church, isn't it? Those evening things, just with a few people. Today, I asked Tim, because he was so good at presenting the things to us in the evening, I wanted to share that with you all and his preaching ability, which I believe he's got. And I want him. I asked him, would he be willing to share this morning? He is. I thank you for it, Tim. I know everyone's going to enjoy hearing from you this morning. And I'd just like to pray with you before you do, because this will be the first time you've preached in front of a live congregation, won't it?
Yeah, first time, so go easy.
Yeah, we will. But I'm sure we're all going to love it. So thank you. Let's pray, shall we, together. Father God, we thank you for Tim. Thank you for his ministry within our church so far in many different ways over these past 7 years. I'm delighted that he's going to be sharing your word with us this morning. And I pray just for your continued anointing upon him for this task. Lord, may he just know and sense your Holy Spirit upon him and with him. And as he shares the words you've placed on his heart for us this morning, may you do so with power and authority in your name. Lord, we pray that you'll give us ears to hear what Tim has to say to us this morning from you. Amen. Amen. Over to you, Tim. Thank you.
Awesome. And if you could just keep praying as we are going, that what I say highlights what we need to hear this morning. Dan, am I getting a bit of feedback or am I all right? All right. Okay. First question I'm going to start with is, who do you believe God to be? Your first response to that question may be to heckle me. Well, Tim, that's bold going in with that question first thing. Settle us in a little bit, you know. This is your first time, come on. But seriously, think about that for 1 minute for me. Who do you believe God to be? You may think of that question as something you've already come to a conclusion on. You might be sitting here thinking, why are we being asked this question again? So let me rephrase it slightly. Who do you believe God to be when a crisis hits? Is he a good God? Is he a bad God? Is he an irrelevant? Was he kind of fun once? Is he ever really there at all? Unfair of me or not to throw that at you first, I think that's exactly where Mark 4 chucks us in at. Chucks us in at the deep end, pun fully intended. And that's when we come to the story of Jesus calming the storm. Prior to this, in chapter 4, Jesus has been sat in a boat teaching on the Sea of Galilee. There's been some cracking parables. The sower, the mustard seed, lamp on a stand, you know, real greatest hits collection. And the disciples are in the inner circle. They've had them explain, they've had them talk through and unpacked. You'd be gassed, wouldn't you? You'd be absolutely buzzing. Here's Jesus, it's the Jesus. And he's got you ran and he's explaining loads of different things and you've had this amazing teaching and we'll get on to what's happened earlier in Mark before, but it's incredible. It's a real, hi mum, moment, because you're there. So if I ask them, who do they believe God to be in that moment, they'd probably say, yeah, I've got this, mate. I know what I'm doing. I know who God is. And then this boat trip happens. This should be the easy part. This should be the bit that they know what they're doing. They're fishermen. They fish for a living. They go out on the sea. It's the Sea of Galilee, I don't know if you've seen it. It's not even that big. This bit is the bit that they know what they're doing. It's the equivalent of if Phil was up here preaching and not me. It's his home turf. He knows what he's doing. It's the equivalent of Phil Collins playing the drums. It's the equivalent of Harry Kane scoring at Wembley. I did write this before the England-Scotland game. But, you know, we still believe. I'm not going to knock him. He's a great striker. Sorry, Spurs fans. This bit should be plain sailing. But it isn't. It's not your typical storm they can deal with. It's furious. Just if you look down at the words, it says a furious squall came up. And I think that's where we can apply the context of Mark 4 to us right now, instead of just randomly looking at this as a storm that happened in Galilee 2,000 years ago. 2 points. Read what Jesus says here. Let us go over to the other side. It's Jesus who instructs them to set sail here. It's not the devil. It's not that they've ignored God. It's not even that Peter's had a cracking idea to go for an afternoon sail. It's Jesus who tells them to go out on the lake. Commentators reflect that this is a direct contrast to Jonah. Jonah, if you remember, gets into a storm because he disobeys God. This is different. This is a different type of storm. And my question to you, they're not defiant, they take him along. And does that resonate with anyone? Has anyone ever sat there and gone, hey God, I'm being obedient, but it's kind of pouring right now? And then you're into the question of who do you believe God to be in that moment? Who is God when it starts to pour? And when it's completely unexpected when you're suddenly crash bang in the middle of a storm. Number two, notice he talks about another side of the sea. At first glance, I didn't really hugely take that in. It seems basic. You'd probably sail from one side of a sea to another. But what happens here is what they're doing is they're going towards the region of the Gerasenes, which he mentions in chapter 5, verse 1. And the region of the Gerasenes generally believed to be a predominantly Gentile area. They've just come from a predominantly Jewish area. And I'm just going to take you through what's happened in the first three chapters of Mark so far. They've had, I think it can be unequivocally called, an awesome time, and I can guarantee you that. In the first three chapters, he has called these disciples by names, including tax collectors who are social pariahs. He's openly backed them in front of teachers of the law. They've seen him drive out demons, healing fevers. Admittedly, that was of one of their mothers-in-law, so I'll go with a classic joke, if I'm not sure that was that helpful. But healing leprosy, paralysis, forgiving sins, and they themselves have been appointed to go out to heal and preach. And now they're being asked to go to the other side. And that's the question I want to apply just to us when we're thinking about storms here. How often can it feel like a storm is coming when we're being asked to step out onto the other side? And I'm not here just talking about if we're being asked to go to a foreign country. I know if I was talking to the teenagers, I'd say that's where my head would naturally go. But it's not necessarily that. What is it if it's something that we conflicts with, something that we feel we're comfortable in right now? God, no, I feel comfortable in this job. I don't really want to move to that new area of church. I don't have capacity to speak to that person. Or even just, God, no, I can't try working on my coping mechanisms. Can't work that through. They work just fine once. Oh, and look, you made it rain. And then we're back to that question, who do you believe God to be when he's asking you to step to the other side? Please really think about that for a second. Who is he in that point of crisis? It takes less than a day for the disciples to shift from where they were at to saying, don't you care? And let me just remind you, and I'm going to read it out again for you. He's called them by name. He has called people who are social pariahs, like tax collectors. He's backed them in front of teachers of the law. He's healed fevers. He's driven out demons. He's healed leprosy, paralysis. He's forgiven sins. And he's asked them to go out and do similar, to go out and heal and preach. And in less than a day, verse 38, teacher, don't you care if we drown? I know he's been asleep, but given the above, really? And what about you? How would you be in this situation, honestly? Jesus does care. His response is incredible with it, isn't it? I'm guessing you've seen it before, but he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves, saying, quiet, be still. He calms the storm. It might not feel like it today on the choppy sea that you're in. Trust me, I can hold my hands up on that. But if you take one thing away from today, if you just stop, if you log off Zoom, if you come off YouTube, if you walk out this door, just take the statement that Jesus does care. The story does go on. And that should be the blockbuster moment, shouldn't it? Jesus gets up, he calms the storm. There should be joy, there should be relief. There just isn't. Instead, look down if you text, if you got them, they were terrified. It's not just they were a little bit scared. It's not just that they weren't sure what was happening. They were terrified. That can feel quite real to me as well. How often when you're in that storm, does the storm actually feel more comfortable than coming out of the storm? You've got used to it. How often do you want to cling on to your own pain, your own hurt? And particularly thinking about Father's Day, to give an example, how often can the idea of looking at this story of Jesus, thinking about a God that calms storm, and you're thinking, I just, a positive paternal influence, that's just too sore for me, mate. If any of those questions I've asked resonate with you, please hear, that's why I chose this text to preach on today. I believe God here shows us his paternal credentials to a T, and he does care. He's asleep, right? Knowing my dad's ability to nod off, that's fairly dad-like. Number two, he gets up when the disciples come and wake him. I find that interesting. It's not so much the storm that wakes him up, and I can imagine there was a lot, if it's a furious squall, there's a lot of noise, right? The disciples were probably rowing with one another as well, I'm guessing. He wakes up when his children come to him. And I think Jesus' subsequent question, verse 40, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I think if we read that, it's not necessarily the fear itself that Jesus has been, that Jesus is calling out here. It's more the fact that the disciples hadn't come to him instantly. That the disciples had forgotten that canon of work that we talked about where the storm is there. And I don't think it's so much a telling off as it is him actually saying, come to me, I'll calm this storm instantly. It is a terrifying situation, right, when the disciples approach him. They're in a huge storm, they're fearing for their lives. And then it's calm instantly. And as one commentator says, this boat cannot go down, Jesus is on board. The fear can be taken away by Jesus. So this father does care. This one wakes up when his children ask, however insolent, don't you care sounds. And again, just to apply that to us, how often have you said to God, don't you care? And he calms the storm by spreading peace. It's quiet, be still, and the waves come down. That may be terrifying to them. That might be terrifying to you. You might want the storm back. I've got control in the storm. I know what I'm doing here, Jesus. It's just too scary to live without this storm. I've got comfortable, and I'm not sure how to be relaxed outside of this. I've rearranged my life. I've rearranged my theology to live on this choppy sea. Sure, I wish it was different, but it isn't. Who do you believe God to be? And I want you to hear, second point, the God that I'm telling you now does calm storms and he does bring peace. And he wants you to welcome that. You may ask me tomorrow, and I might not feel that tomorrow, but I have seen it. I'm so bad at welcoming peace, personally. I second guess, I query, I want to keep control. And I get that, but Jesus, I'm not saying Jesus just takes away storms, but Jesus does calm. Isn't welcoming it huge to us? Isn't that something we can look forward to? And just further on that, can we also talk about where this comes in Mark's gospel? This is in chapter 4. There's 12 more in Mark's gospel. That's a bargain if you ask me, 16 chapters of Mark. And it's not the end of the story. God's power here, which is, I think, usually the thing we pick up on, isn't it? God's able to calm the wind and the waves. His power is not anger. He doesn't just save these disciples from the storm and give them their lives. What then happens, and it's two chapters later in Mark 6, they are sent out to do amazing things again. And that is what
obviously I'm sure a lot of you know, is what we Christians would call grace. Mercy would be saving them on the boat. Grace is the fact that he restores them and sends them out. The end of the story is not the terror you see in verse 41. The end of the story is the awe you see going into the story of Acts. And again, just coming back to the example of the father, just because I know we're on Father's Day, I'm so sorry if that isn't the example you saw from your dad. I'm so sure if when he sorted situations, it was terror. But this father, as Aaron was saying earlier, is a perfect father. And he calms storms by spreading peace. And is able to do that in ridiculous situations. And that is just unbelievable. Except it is, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be stood up here. Welcome that peace. That at the minute, but I can appreciate that. You might be saying, we need to welcome peace. Again, I get that. That feels like a nice TED talk. But where do we go from here? How do we apply that out? And that's when, and you can flick your eyes to 2 Corinthians 6 now, if you are following along in your Bibles. Because in 2 Corinthians 6, in the first verse, Paul says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. If you've come with me on this journey and you believe in the God that I've been talking about, you probably are at the point where you know that you're in it with him. Look at verse 2. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. What does that mean? He's quoting Isaiah 49 for a start. And what Paul is referring to here is the urgency of today. He's saying you can't receive the grace that I was talking about of Jesus and be passive. And that was something he leveled at Corinthians, among other things, but that was one of the things he was leveling here in terms of saying that the church in Corinth had become passive. They were complacent. They weren't acting on the grace that they had received. And that was upsetting to Paul. He's not angry in this letter. If you read the context of this letter in 1 Corinthians, he outlines a lot of things that the church in Corinth had been doing wrong. In this letter, this is more about appealing to them because they were upset with him. And he, as you see in verse 13, refers to them as his children. He wants to call them back. He calls for enthusiasm. And I think one commentary puts it nicely, particularly if we're thinking about Father's Day. It's like the little boy with the toy lawnmower following dad as dad mows the lawn. So dad's God, we're the boy. For the sake of pure efficiency, dad should ask the boy to go away because he's really just in the way. But it is so good for the boy to work with his dad. And because dad loves his boy, he wants him to work together with him. This isn't a perfect example, but I've got a little brother. He's 10 years younger than me, which I think a lot of you know. When I was younger, I used to play the piano, much to my frustration at times. But he loved the piano, and he wanted to practice with me every morning. And I say every morning. I definitely didn't practice every morning. That's a lie. but he wanted to practice with me, and it's not a perfect example, but for pure efficiency, it was quite annoying. You know, there was quite a lot of like this noise at the end of the piano. But because he loved it, I put up with it. Because I could see that he cared about it, I put up with it. And I think that here is what God wants from us. And what Paul is saying, we're God's co-workers. We're not necessarily very good at it. But he wants you there, like the little boy with the toy lawnmower. He wants you there mowing the grass. That's a great image, isn't it? That's what God wants for you. There's an urgency. It is today. But that means you get to celebrate your Father's Day today. Beyond your earthly fathers. Some of them will be awesome. Some of them will have been not so great. But you get to celebrate that today. Today is the day of salvation. To quote, for those of you who might not necessarily have gone along with that story, I'll quote Star Wars and mindly edit it for you. I couldn't not come up here and not talk about Star Wars. In Star Wars, there's a line, and I've slightly edited it, but the Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My brother has it. My sister has it. If you've accepted that grace, turn that terror into awe. You can calm storms too. Please, please don't get a boat out and start going out into some choppy seas. But you can. What does that look like then? Well, in verse 3 to 10, Paul gives us a bit of a CV. He himself talks about enduring, I'm going to say storms, but he talks about great endurance, patience, kindness, understanding, doing the right things, truthful speech. And Paul's purpose here of saying that is that Paul wants the gospel to be known. Paul wants people to be surrounded with this calming of storms. And I think quite often we can read Paul and we can miss just how much he cares, just how much he actually cares, how much he's taken that on. Who are the people in your life right now who are going through storms? Who might be going through one today that you know of? Paul here talks about the reasons that he's giving his CV here is not to big himself up. The reason he's giving his CV is to make sure that his message, God's message, is not discredited, because he wants people to receive that. So what I'd say is that patience, that understanding, that kindness, who are we applying that to? Who's going through storms today that we need to turn to them and say, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. I care. And I do care, but I also care because God cares. Please welcome that in. Those of you who might know, I'm a social worker, so I've seen a fair few storms, and quite often I think what is needed is that ability to stretch out and give that message. I've seen families split, and quite often all they needed to hear was that someone still cared. And just to give you a little bit of context in terms of the history, one commentator talks about how from the church in Acts, that church were nobodies in the Roman Empire. They were a tiny movement following a crucified and risen king. But we are known by God, and that counts. Don't want to lose that. And I also want to say that that church is what's led to you being here today. That church, that ability to go with that kindness, to calm some storms, is why you are here. The gospel is always a challenge and an encouragement. Jesus does care in the storms. He can calm them. We can welcome them only. We can then do similar. Don't get me wrong. Again, I'm not dismissing the difficulty of this, but where are the people today that you can go out and do that for as well? We're called to join with God in spreading that mission. So this is his day. So my final question to you, I'm going to get off and let these guys get on, is are you ready to follow your father and calm some storms?